Welcome to the LTC University podcast. My name is Jamie Preston, and today, once again, we have my good friend, one of the senior vice presidents from SC House Calls, Matt Whitehead. How are you doing, Matt?
Hey, Jamie. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. You know, Matt, when you get on here, you know, your job is primarily leadership. I mean, that's where you spend 99% of your time is leading others.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know, whether you think so or not, you're good at it. And so I think you've got a knack for it. I think you've got a just good instincts and, you know, a way of leading it that's in a great way. So that's what we're going to talk about.
Well, good.
Today.
I got some people you can call and explain that to.
Yeah, nice. I will. I have no problem explaining that to them. But today we're gonna kind of cover a topic that I think you're gifted at, not afraid and you don't shy away from it, and that's how to have tough conversations. You know, I think it's something that a lot of people, including myself, we shy away from. You know, I think.
Yeah.
As an I personality type on DISC, you know, in S's typically we don't lean into them as much. But as yourself, you're a D personality, you lean into it. Now, I think
I'll disagree with you about S's.
Yeah.
S's will have a difficult conversation. They really will.
I've had a
lot of my more difficult conversations are with S's. If you want to go down the
they
the
can be
DISC
very
road,
stubborn.
Do that, but
yeah, they can be very stubborn and very.
It's a different kind of stubborn, but
yeah,
I don't disagree with that. Yeah,
absolutely. But I think you've learned to lean into it. You know, I've learned it's taken a long time.
No choice
to lean into it a little more. Even though I have to really force myself, but the D personality, it's one of the things they're really good at. They're not afraid to shake things up. They're not afraid to speak up. They're not afraid to say things that a lot of times others wouldn't say. And it's a good thing. I think,
which is also why we're not the most popular one in the room either. Usually you eyes are.
D's get a bad rap. Yeah, absolutely. They get a bad rap, but we absolutely need them, especially us eyes. We need to be pushed. We need to, you know, be motivated, you know, and have those conversations. So as a leader, Matt,
go ahead. What you need is for somebody to just bottom line it for you.
Yes.
Cause like D's are really the group that can just bottom line whatever the thought is. The other DISC profiles don't do a good job of that.
Yeah, you're correct. Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, well, you guys are just, you get to the point. So my wife is a D personality, and she hates small talk. She wants to get to the point and discuss whatever she needs to discuss. Whereas me, I'll talk about the weather. I'll talk about whatever you want to talk about, you know, around everything.
And that's why you guys are perfect. And that's why we build our teams that way and do that for that very reason. Because
exactly.
You need both parts.
You do need both.
Because imagine if every person you talk to, you just got, you know, two sentences and you were done.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like you need the, you know, the interaction and the other part. And that's why, and I know we're not talking about DISC here, but that's why I think the DI personality trait is the most dangerous one in like a good way.
Yeah.
Because those people can do both.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that makes them a very unique, you know, couple of, you know, DISC profiles to have together.
Absolutely. Yeah. That I think the DI, like you said, and then I think the SD or DS can be that way too.
Those are the volatile ones. Yeah. All of my SDs out there are going to be mad at me for saying that, but those are the volatile ones, man. Well, I'm going to tell you, you don't mess with the SD.
Yeah. I mean, they can chew you out and comfort you all at the same time.
Sure.
Which can be confusing.
Yeah, no, you don't mess with the SD.
And they're tough. Yeah. There's no doubt about
they
it.
They are tough.
So Matt, as a leader, you know, for us, especially those of us that struggle with having tough conversations and leaning into them, as a leader, why should you get comfortable being uncomfortable? Because that's really what it comes down to, is comfort and discomfort.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, ultimately, it's going to make your life easier, even if not in the moment.
Mm.
You know, and that's really what, you know, the calculus you have to make to yourself. You know, do I want something to drag on. You maybe not to deal with it in the moment, but eventually it's going to be worse than if you, you know, just went ahead and dealt with it. So I hate to say, you know, it's a, almost a time management tool in a sense, but yeah. I mean, you can't let things fester, you know, right. you have to be able to get to them, yeah. run to the fire. I know we used that in our mm-hmm. last one, but
yep.
You know, I mean, that mentality goes across the board, absolutely. Especially in leadership, you know, yeah. You cannot hide from your problems. They will find you and they will attack you.
They will. Absolutely. And I have done it the wrong way before and it always comes back to bite.
Oh, me too. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, and I've heard this put this way too, and I think you're bringing up a great point. You know, if you're willing to trade a short, uncomfortable time for a longer, you know, string of peace, if you will, you know, a more peaceful time, you know, I think
it's going to ultimately end in worse, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what happens is we don't confront things. We don't have the conversation. And then that nagging, you know, task of having that conversation is still there and it never gets resolved, which you're always uncomfortable that way. But if you're willing to have that short moment, exactly. And
nobody's not naive to that.
Right. But if you can just take that few moments of discomfort and, you know, you'll have more peace and more times, you know, of being comfortable. I think you, if you sacrifice that instead of the opposite, I think is true, where if you don't have it, you're going to be uncomfortable longer instead of just getting it over with, dealing with it and moving on and moving forward.
And your team is going to be thinking about it.
Yeah.
Like just move on, yeah. You know, like it just, exactly. Just move on. Like it's okay.
Exactly. So let's,
but if you're going to be a leader, you need to go ahead and understand. If you're going to be a leader, you need to go ahead and understand you're going to be in an uncomfortable situation. That's sure. that's part of it.
Absolutely.
So if you're not okay with that, then don't put yourself in that situation.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Cause you're
would be, you know, the advice for that, but
absolutely. So let's jump into kind of the tactics of this, you know, cause this is something you're really good at. So what strategies do you recommend for having difficult conversations with an employee? So maybe an employee's not performing, maybe they're not, you know, maybe they've kind of, maybe it could be an attitude issue. There could be a million sure. different reasons. So what strategies do you recommend for having that difficult conversation?
Unless I just know, my first act is to understand what exactly. So like, let's take productivity, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it mean to be unproductive?
Right.
I could ask 100 people that question and get 200 different answers probably.
Yeah, sure.
So what do we mean by, so like really getting your ducks in a row, doing your homework, what does that mean? Because if I'm going to sit down with, you know, I'm just going to use a nurse practitioner, you know, a highly trained, highly educated nurse practitioner who is a professional who knows what they're doing. But I've got to make sure that I'm able to explain to them what that means, because productivity to, and I'm just going to say me, may mean how much you bill.
Mm-hmm.
Productivity to them may be, yeah, but I saw all my patients today. I took good care of people. I did everything you asked me to do.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you mean? So it, because it can be subjective, and honestly, a lot of these conversations are subjective. So you really have to understand what you're getting into, and you have to understand what that person is going to think about that. And like, I spend a lot of time thinking about the reactions I'm going to get to the things that I'm going to say to someone.
Anticipate.
Because I want to be able to anticipate that. Exactly. Because once again, if you think you're going to sit down somebody and tell them that they're not good at their job and they're unproductive and they're just going to sit there and thank you for it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Sure. Sometimes you may have that, but for the most part, they're going to want to know why, like, what are you talking about? Where can I do better?
Mm-hmm.
So you better have that information ready to go.
Sure.
Or basically be able to formulate some kind of plan, do your homework, have, you know, some kind of idea in your head of an outcome, And now you may not always get that outcome.
Sure.
Or in the course of the conversation, you may realize you need a different outcome. But if you don't know anything about the conversation you're going into, that's going to turn an, you know, difficult and uncomfortable conversation into, you know, a mess really, really quick.
Yeah.
And you know, that's really usually the first thing that I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to understand, okay, what exactly is the problem that we're trying to solve here?
Yeah.
Or, you know, once again, the question that Matt Staub asks us all the time, what are we going to do with this information? So, okay, yeah. So you've brought me this information. So like, now what do I need to do with it?
Yeah.
And honestly, a lot of times it may be nothing.
Sure.
You know, to maybe I sound a little hypocritical from the other part, but a lot of times people may bring you a problem that's not even really a problem. So honestly, being able to even filter through that a lot of times, because what you don't want to do is, and I know we talked about this is in another podcast, is, you know, essentially having your employees manage you. Because I have people bring me stuff all the time. Like, oh my God, this is the biggest problem ever.
Sure.
And it's like, it's really not. So let's me and you have a difficult conversation right now about what's really a problem and what's really not a problem.
Yeah. So I think you, we could do the whole podcast just on that one question. Cause you gave us three incredible points.
Yeah,
One is seek first to understanding the problem, understanding, you know, what you think the problem is, what I think the problem is, and then define the goal and the objectives. You know, make sure you've defined for both parties, for both people, this is what we're trying to get to, and then anticipate the reaction. I think is golden. Those three things right there are golden tips when having a, you know, really difficult conversation with somebody. And typically, I know for me, Matt, I usually play it up more in my head than actually what actually happens. It's usually less. I think my anxiety gets the best of me, and I play it up. It's way bigger in my head.
It does, and a lot of people.
Yeah. And then when after I do it, I'm like, oh, that wasn't that bad. So it's like, there was really no reason to be nervous about that.
Well, and like, here's the thing too. Like, these conversations can, not only can they be positive, but if you should try to make them positive, it doesn't have to be a negative conversation. If it, just because it's difficult doesn't mean it has to be. Like, some of the most difficult conversations I've ever had have had the best outcomes with people. Because once again, they understand, they know, the expectation is clear, but that doesn't have to be beating somebody over the head. Like, it's okay to be positive.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say we, because I don't know who else, I don't know another way to describe it, but we feel like if we're bringing somebody in to have a conversation, there needs to be a certain tone.
Yeah, sure.
And I mean, sure. I mean, obviously in some instances, you know, that's appropriate, but that's not 100% of the time. You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be a negative conversation that you're having with somebody just because it's difficult.
Yeah.
Like, those two don't have to be mutually exclusive to each other.
Sure. Absolutely. That's so good. So how do you ensure that team members feel heard and respected when having these conversations?
Yeah. So that's probably my second biggest piece of advice after doing, you know, your homework and your research and, you know, what you need to do to be prepared for the conversation. You have to listen.
Yeah.
You have to actually listen.
You're going back to that first point. Seek first to understand.
Yeah. I mean, you have to listen, because once again, and this has happened to me, I've sat down, had my ducks in a row, thought I knew everything that was going on, sat down in front of the employee and realized I didn't know anything.
Wow.
And then, you know, hearing it from another perspective, even, you know, cause you know, once again, you can hear, you know, how someone's schedule may be a problem versus the person that's actually, you know, carrying out that schedule.
Sure.
They have different perspectives on what a problem is.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I'm just using that as an example. So anybody who's listening, no, I'm not picking on anybody, but,
yeah.
you know, a lot of times, you know, I mean, we just don't listen.
Yeah.
We talk to our employee. We don't have a it's not a difficult conversation. It's a difficult me talking.
Yeah.
I feel like that sets the conversation up to be bad from the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the difference between just managing and leading. I think leaders listen.
Yeah.
They hear first and then react instead of just this is what you need to do, and I'm not going to hear you. And that's where I think you know,
people, well, because they don't want to be respect. Wrong.
Yeah, sure.
Well, because they're more worried about, did I come out of this conversation still looking like the boss, I guess, right. You could say.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Where, like, I don't care about that. I just want it to be right and everybody to be on the same. I don't necessarily care about anything other than, you know, is the situation resolved? Is everybody on the same page? Do we have a plan? You know, is everybody clear about what the expectations are?
Right.
So, you know, that's a lot of times ego goes into it. I know we talk about ego a lot whenever we're talking, but
that was getting ready. That was going to be my next question. How many times do leaders get in trouble by letting their ego get in the way with this?
I mean, most of the time.
Yeah.
Ego is going to play some part in something not going correctly.
Right.
Or, you know, something not being, you know, something being misconstrued or not clear or, you know, whatever the case may be. I mean, ego is the great equalizer in leaders. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. And the more you can.
That doesn't mean that everybody, I mean, I got an ego too. I mean, everybody's got an ego. But it's how you manage your ego.
Yeah.
That, you know.
Yeah. Everybody does. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. Like you said, it's about managing it, knowing when to push it down. Cause that ego does bring some confidence too, when you're working, the things that you're doing. So ego is not all bad either. I think it's a bad rap, but you do need to know when you need to pull it
back.
But
you have to check it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what you said earlier is you got to know exactly what you want to get out of that meeting, what you want to get out of that conversation, you know, which is to fix a problem, and the ego has to be taken out of that. Well, you know?
Well, and I'm going to introduce another word here other than ego that's the same road, but emotions.
Yeah.
You can't be emotional about it. That's really where maybe ego was the wrong word. Maybe emotional is a better way to say that, but you got to check that at the door.
Yes.
Because, you know, that's really what's going to get you into trouble. If you're trying to have a professional conversation with someone, you're getting flustered or frustrated or mad, or, you know, I mean, you're just pissed and it's obvious that you're pissed. Like, whatever the situation is, like, the emotions are what's going to ramp it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have to control the ego and the emotion, and it's got to be facts. You have to know what your facts are. You have to be willing to listen, and you have to be willing to, you know, be okay with whatever outcome moves the situation forward, even if it's not what your outcome may be.
Sure.
Yeah. Because you may have in your mind what you think the best outcome is for something, and that may be the best outcome for you. But that may not be the best outcome for your team or the situation. So once again, ego and emotions have got to be gone. Yeah. What's the best thing for this team? I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's my idea, your idea, as long as it's working, yeah, and we can move past this.
Right.
What do we have to do to do that?
Right.
So take the egos and emotions out of it.
Yeah. I think you're so right. I think emotions, if you're not careful, will hijack a meeting. They will take over and they take you to a place you don't want to go. They get you where you don't want to go instead of solving the problem. That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good. I love this. What are some common mistakes that leaders make? You know, you already talked about emotion, you know, but what's some common mistakes that leaders make when having a difficult conversation? What's some other ones?
There's two big ones I see all the time. Consistency and confidentiality. Those are two big things people run into. They're not consistent. Because once again, people know, people talk. Hey, you got in trouble, what they do to you? Oh, I got in trouble with the same thing. Well, they only did this to me. I mean, you're not consistent in what you're doing. Or, back to our last podcast, you're holding someone accountable, but then you're not holding another person accountable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So people aren't consistent. So if it's, you know, a free for all, and then all of a sudden Jamie gets in trouble,
right?
You're like, well, nobody, well, like, like, I know it's the rule, but nobody's enforced this rule. When do we just start enforcing this rule on me?
Right.
You know, and so like not being consistent is one of the big ones, and then not keeping stuff confidential. And this probably bothers me about as much as anything.
Sure.
If you're going to have a difficult conversation with someone, there's a reason it's a difficult conversation.
Yeah.
If it's an easy conversation, we can have it in the staff meeting. Mm-hmm. But if it's a confidential conversation, then there's a reason it's confidential.
Right.
And you both should know that whatever you say in that room is going to stay between you.
Sure.
Unless there's follow up, or, you know, I need to, you know, go work with this department on this or that. I mean, there's going to be stuff like that, but I see people walking out of rooms and they turn to the person, and I'm talking about the leader here. I'm not talking about the, you know, mm-hmm. person who, you know, was, you know, have the difficult conversation was being had with. I'm talking about the person that's supposed to be the leader.
Sure.
Walk out of the room and just start talking about it.
Yeah. It's so
easy. I mean,
easy
it's too easy to do. And it's also the easiest way for somebody to never trust you again.
Mm.
So if you thought that was a difficult conversation, wait till the next one you have to have. Oh, and you're going to have to have it. You better believe it. You're going to have to have it.
Absolutely.
So you've done already, you know, burned that bridge down and the road. And I mean, you know, burned all the trees down. I mean, that person's never going to, they're never going to trust the conversation again.
Yeah. Now that leads
and that's where you're gonna lose them.
Yeah, that leads us to this next question. You know, how can a leader create a safe and comfortable environment for having that tough conversation with the employee? Because you want them to be able to trust you. You want them to be able to open up. And in certain environments, they may not open up, but you need them to open up with you. You know, Matt, what do you do to get people to open up and be honest?
I don't know, Jamie, what do I do? I don't even know, honestly. I try to treat everybody the same. I mean, you know, like I don't, you know, I mean, you know, like I used to always say, you know, I wanted my headstone to say, you know, he treated the owner of the company and the, you know, the janitor the same way.
That's good.
You know, like that's important to me. Like, so like, I mean, is that what I do, Jamie? I don't, I mean, I've worked with you for a long time.
Sure.
I really don't even, I mean, I just, I guess to go back to the buzzword, you know, just try to be consistent with people.
Yeah.
And treat everybody with respect. And, you know, something that, you know, the people who work for me will tell you, I use this phrase all the time. Like, I'm in this with you.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to put myself in the trenches with you. And I don't know if that helps. Maybe that helps. I don't know if that helps, but I mean,
I think that's the answer to the question.
Honestly, I'd maybe have to ask you that. I mean, I've worked with you for long enough to know. I mean, because I'm not consciously like doing anything, you know. I mean, I just try to be consistent with people.
But I think that's those two things. I think, you know, being the same, treating people the same, whether, like you said, that you're the owner of the company or anybody within the organization.
Sure, anybody.
Treat them with the same. But I think that feeling, and I think this is a feeling that people get more than it's, I think it's caught more than it's taught. It's that I'm in this with you. And I think that's a thing that you do really well at, Matt, is because I think you're not afraid to, you know, to be with people in a problem. And I think people feel that with you. I think they feel that, hey, I'm trying to get to the solution here. I want to help you. And I want to make this work for us. And I think that's what good leaders are great at, is making people feel that. So yeah, I think that answers the question perfectly. I don't think you can get a better answer. So
I don't know. I've never honestly really thought about it.
Yeah. Well, I think you naturally do it, you know, you've never asked somebody to do something you wouldn't be willing to do. And I think that's,
well, honestly, I probably was doing it and they were probably like, hey, do you want me to do this?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. Right. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's an interesting question. I've never thought about it. I'm sorry to put that back on you, but
no. I think
really never thought about that too deep.
Yeah. I think so. You know, I'm just scanning some of the questions we have for this podcast. You know, let's go back to emotion, you know, cause you're an emotional guy, Matt.
Yeah, sure. I'm an emotional guy.
Yeah. I mean, when you know, you are. Yeah, we all are. And that's the thing. People think, well, I'm not emotional. No, everybody's emotional. We all have different ways that we utilize
emotions. Anybody who knows me will tell you, right? I am absolutely emotional.
Yeah. So how do you recommend and what methods do you use to stay calm and objective during a tough conversation? Because, I mean, sometimes you hear things and you're like, oh, this is really frustrating. You know, how do you stay calm and keep yourself collected during those conversations?
By just keeping the facts. I mean, just keeping the facts in front of us. I mean, yeah. You can be emotional about facts, but I mean, you know, they're also, you know, I mean, the fact is what it is.
Yeah.
Now, getting to that fact may be frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a process. And, you know, the question I always ask myself in my head is, like, what good is it going to do me to, like, rip you apart right now?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, sure. What good, like, how is that going to make my life easier, give me any more time, give, you know, how is that going to... Now, sometimes I ask myself that question and I go, I don't really care because I'm mad at you right now and I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, that's usually what I just keep asking myself, like, if you did this, what good is it going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Would it make you feel better in the moment?
Yeah,
absolutely. Probably.
And I think we have to differentiate here too, because I think there's a difference between calm and passionate. Cause I don't think we're saying
sure.
that. I
think passion's okay.
I think you can be passionate. I think you can be passionate yeah. when you're talking.
And I am passionate.
When you're in a group meeting, you know, you can be passionate. There's nothing wrong with that. I think we got to differentiate, you know, but you know, what we're talking about is when you lose your temper and then it's, you know, you've gone too far. I think that's what we're talking about is, you know, making
yeah,
sure that you stay
in
those situations.
You know, my general rule of thumb is to do that kind of thing up. So if Will or Matt Staub or somebody's listening, I have a lot of different conversations with them. And the frustration level that I let out is different versus sure. if I'm doing that to like someone who works, you know, in a region or, mm-hmm. you know, what, you know, in a client, you know, whatever,
absolutely.
Whatever the case is. And honestly, and this is just me talking, they let me get a lot of that off my chest. God bless them for it. Cause
sure.
I'm sure that they, you know, they get frustrated with me, but then that allows me to walk back out of that room and be what I need to be in that moment. Because I've gotten a lot of that frustration out already.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's really an important part of, for like me personally, is that I have two people that I know I can trust mm-hmm. who were both my bosses.
Yep.
Who granted they're the CEO and the COO of the company. So, you know, you have to, you know, always keep that in mind, but, they let me get that out.
Yeah.
So that I don't have to get that out anywhere else.
Sure.
And, you know, like I tell them all the time, you know, y'all hear me, you know, doing this, doing that. And it's unfair because, you know, you hear me after I hang the phone up. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Like
right.
you don't hear the conversation I had with the employee where everything was good and we got on the same thing. And then maybe I hung it up and I was frustrated. And you know what, but like that employee maybe never sees that part of it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I really think it's because I have those sounding boards. I have, you know, those two, and I mean, you know, JT too, you know, I mean, you know, we, you know, share an office together. So like mm-hmm. I have people in my life that I can work through that frustration with.
Absolutely.
Before it gets to the point where I'm going to have that conversation.
Yeah.
So yeah. a lot of times I've already got a lot of that out of me.
Right.
And you know, once again, God bless them for letting me do that. Cause if they didn't let me do that, then this would probably be a completely different conversation, but you know, they let me work through my passion and my emotions before I have to go actually execute them,
yeah.
you know, with, you know, whatever I've got to go do. So right. I mean, honestly, you know, thinking through this, you know, for stream of conscience, I mean, I think that's a good, you know, have somebody that, you know, maybe not necessarily, you know, if you're an RVP, maybe not somebody in your region, but maybe another RVP
mm-hmm.
or, you know, another DCS in another region who, you know, understands what you're going through, but maybe aren't necessarily connected to what you're in right now. So just having
right.
like a sounding board or somebody
sure.
you can, you know, kick ideas, a phone a friend.
Absolutely.
I'm so thankful that they give me that opportunity. You know, once again, I'm sure they, you know, or I hate my gut some days whenever it happens, but they also know too that that's what I need. And whenever I leave the room, we're good.
Yeah.
And then I can go and take care of whatever we need to take care of. So, right.
I think what they're doing, yeah. I think what they're
I don't know
doing,
if that would have been my answer going in. No. But
I think this is really cool because I think what they're doing, Matt, is they're letting you be yourself, you know?
No, they absolutely do. Yeah, no, they absolutely do.
And I think we have to bring ourselves to
that. True.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think what a lot of times what leaders do, they try to become somebody else, or maybe there's another leader that they're trying to emulate, which, you sure. know, you take those good things, you take those traits, you take those
you
principles,
to. Yeah, you have to,
but you still got to be yourself at the end of the day.
Right.
I can't be Matt Whitehead. Like, I can't do it. Like, it doesn't work.
I can't be Jamie.
Exactly. So, and that's what makes, you know, leadership beautiful and teams beautiful, because we need everybody to be themselves. So you have to bring yourself to the situation, you know, and I think that's what they're doing. So again, on the flip side of that, you know, the people that you're working with and the people that you're in charge of, you've got to let them be themselves too at the end of the day. You got to allow that for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think Michael Jordan wasn't himself? Tom Brady wasn't himself?
Yeah. Absolutely.
No. What did they do? They Bill Belichick let Tom Brady be himself, and he mm-hmm. won him 6 Super Bowls. So, yeah. You know, I mean, if you have someone who's talented and that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do, and that's okay. You know, I mean, that's part of it. I'm talking about, you know, me with, you know, other people and, you know, mm-hmm. in general. Yeah. I mean, you know, I have the same, you know, kind of thing with people. And honestly, I've never really thought about it until we've had the conversation, but, you know, mm-hmm. people do the same thing with me. You know, they'd be like, oh my God, I got to call this employee. I'm so mad. This, and this. And we'll, you know, break it apart a little bit, talk about it, come up with a little plan together. And then, you know, we'll send them on their way to go have their conversation. And,
yeah.
You know, hey, how'd that go? Oh, it was fine. Oh, cool. Awesome. Great. Well, mark that right off the list.
Yeah. 9 times out of 10, it goes fine. But I think where it can go wrong, if you don't have that conversation with that other person, you know, to say, to,
yeah,
to
you
be
have
a
better
board.
Chance of, right. And you have a better chance of it going wrong if you just delay addressing it.
Mm, yeah. I think that's
just go ahead. Just go ahead. And also to your point about being yourself. Don't have like a script when you're talking to like that. Like don't sound like a robot. Like have like a cordial flowing conversation. You know, I mean, you may have points that you need to hit. That's fine, but let it be a conversation. And a lot of times, you know, you'll have people put their guard down if they know, you know, okay, I'm not in here to be attacked. You know, I'm in here to have a conversation. Yes, maybe the conversation isn't one I want to have, but you know, I'm okay with this. Yeah. Cool. I can get anywhere with somebody. If that's how it's set up.
Right. Yeah.
We can figure it out. And the awesome part about this company is we have the freedom to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like how something works? Cool. We'll literally change it. You know, I mean, yeah. So like we've been given the freedom to be able to do that.
Yeah. I think one
for
of the
people. So
I think one of the most beautiful, options. One of the most beautiful things at SC House Calls that I think Scott has created, you know, Matt Staub, different people, part of this culture, Will, everybody, yourself, JT, all of the senior leadership. I think what they've created is that it's okay to fail. It's not mm-hmm. death when you fail. You know, I think when you have that freedom, you're going to take risks, but it, you know, not that you keep doing it, you keep failing, you change and that's another part of it is, you know, we change, we change the behavior, we move on, but it's not a death sentence when you've tried something and it didn't work. You know,
the death sentence is never trying it.
Yeah.
And that's really the mentality. Yeah. We would rather try something and it not go well, but we at least know we gave it a shot than to never try it. Yeah. And
absolutely.
That's what, really the beauty of it is, you know, there's a lot of holes in markets. You know, there's a lot of things we could do here, a lot of things we could do there. And if it works, we can do that mm-hmm. or we can try to do it. And if it doesn't work, okay, we tried it. And, you know, I always laugh because, you know, we have, you know, like the 201, 301, 501, and I didn't get to finish 501, but, because, you know, the hospice, whatnot, whatever, but I remember when we were doing the class, they sat us in a circle one day and they literally said to us, they were like, all right, we're going to talk about failure today. There were probably 20, 25 of us sitting in that room.
Sure.
We all went around the table with a failure.
Yeah.
Literally, maybe twice around the table with a failure. And the point of that was basically what you're saying. Like, it's going to happen. If you're going to do anything in life, you're going to have to take chances.
Yeah.
Sometimes those chances don't work out. And I think the example Jimmy used was, you know, like 409. Why is it called Formula 409? Because that's how many formulas it took to get the right formula.
Wow. I didn't know that. Yeah.
To clean whatever, you know, whatever you sprayed 409 on. That's why it's called 409. Took 409 formulas to get it right.
Wow.
And look at them now.
Yeah.
If they'd have stopped at 400, they'd feel like real idiots right now. It only was going to take 9 more times to be, you know, however much, you know, whatever company conglomerate owns, you know, 409, whatever, whoever owns that brand.
Right.
That's, you know, been synonymous. I mean, that's pretty much like Kleenex, you know.
Right.
People are like, oh, I need a Kleenex. Like, Kleenex is a brand. That's not like a tissue.
Right.
You know, but, you know, imagine if they would have stopped at Formula 400. We got to 400 and been like, you know what, guys, this is just too many. The 400 is a good round number to stop at.
Yeah. They would have never made it.
And they would never have made it. And, and like, that's what Scott's general philosophy is. Yes, we're going to fail. And yes, that's okay. But we're going to try it and we're going to go for it because we are of the mentality that if you stop doing that, then what we do isn't going to work.
Yeah.
So you have to keep finding the next innovation and the next, you know, piece of technology, the next program to roll out. And I mean, you're not going to have 100% success rate and you know, you're not going to have a 50. I mean, if you have a 50% success rate, you're probably doing
better
than most. So yeah, I mean, you know, it's okay. And it's also okay to be wrong. If I could just throw that in there too.
That's good.
And that's, and back to the bigger conversation, a lot of times leaders in these difficult conversations don't want to be wrong.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem in the world telling somebody, wow, I was wrong on that. I did not know that. Or, you know, I did not think about it that way. Or, wow, you know, that makes, you know, makes a lot of sense hearing you say it like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
a lot of times people struggle with that. Cause they're like, I'm the boss. I know I'm right. I have to be right. I'm the boss. And it's like,
that's too much pressure.
It's like being married. You know, thank you for saying that. I literally say that to people all the time. I'm like, this is more pressure than I don't want to be right.
Yeah.
Like, this is more pressure than like I, you know, want to take right now, you know, like it's a lot of, or like even, you know, you could be like, oh, you're such a good leader. I'm like, no, I'm not. That's a lot of pressure. Don't put that out there. You know, like, oh my, you know, so I mean, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, it's definitely got a lot to do with it.
Yeah. So good.
Definitely got a lot to do with it.
Let's recap our conversation here. I think some of the big points that I think I want to just recap real quick here. Seek first to understand. Define the goal and the objectives when you're having that tough conversation. Anticipate the reaction. Kind of go over it in your head. Kind of anticipate what that might look like. You know, make difficult conversations positive. They're not negative. And I think that's why we don't do them, because we think they're negative. They're actually positive. They're getting a better result. Listen again. You know,
it's an opportunity.
It's an opportunity. Absolutely. Listen again. I think that kept coming up over and over again. Take out the emotions when you can, but be yourself. I think that's really important. Know the facts. Keep going back to those facts. Keep, you know, that's what's most important. Consistency and confidentiality. Make sure you're doing those two things. I think those are key. Letting the person know that I'm in this with you. You're not alone. You're not trying to solve this problem alone. I'm with you. And lastly, don't be scripted. You know, I think that was another great point. Don't be scripted. Be real. Be a real person, you know, with them. And again, once again, be yourself as a leader. And I think people will appreciate that. Matt, what would you tell people?
If they see that.
Yeah.
They already know.
Yeah.
I promise you, they already know. If you're being sincere or not.
At 100%, they know.
You're not fooling anybody.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nobody's. Sorry. Yeah. Unless you're a Hollywood actor and you've had years of experience, you're not fooling anybody. And even then, I don't think you can do it.
Nobody.
Yeah. So
we live in too cynical of a society to get away with that anymore.
100%. Matt, what would your final word for leaders be about having these tough conversations?
You got to have them. And if you're not comfortable with them, then don't put yourself in a position to have them, because you're just going to be a detriment to your team and your progress and, you know, everything that we need to be able to, you know, change healthcare.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to be a detriment to that. And, you know, don't, it's okay to be a good employee.
Yeah.
It's okay to be the best at something that we have. You don't necessarily always have to be the boss. So like, you know, that's the thing too, people, everybody thinks that this is what they want to do. And then they get into the situation and realize real quick that they don't.
Yeah.
And so just remember that, you know, as you're thinking about like, what do I want to do? You know, what roads do I want to go down? Like if confrontation is something that bothers you, I would just, you know, just think about that whenever, you know, you're thinking about what you want to do. Just don't put that situation out into the app. You know, there's just no reason for it. But for the people that are in the position now, just, you know, like you said, be yourself, take as much of the emotion out of it as you can. You know, one thing I always, you know, remind our VPs, you know, especially whenever they're talking to nurse practitioners, is like, you know, does it feel good to make a point? Yes. But you also might need this person tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So like, don't ever forget that part either.
Yeah.
You know, like, yes, you're in charge. You're the, you know, you're the boss. You're, you know, it is what it is. And then all of a sudden you need a favor and you've treated somebody, you know, in a way that they didn't appreciate. They're not going to be there to help you. And in this, you know, delivery system of healthcare that we're in, that happens every single day. Hey, I need you to do something for me. Hey, this patient needs something. Hey, this happened. Hey, I mean, that's constant all day long.
Yeah. That's where, you know, I know people probably overuse.
That's where
term.
The we're in it together comes from.
Yeah. Serving, you know, we're there to serve them and, you know, we serve each other at the end of the day. So
Matt doesn't bill $1.
Yeah. Right.
So take care of the people who do.
Yeah. Yep.
And be okay taking care of those people. Just because you take care of somebody or even, you know, work with somebody in a way that, you know, wouldn't, you know, I don't want this to sound wrong, like in a bad way, but you know, you're helpful to your team. Like that's not weakness. That's you trying to get work done and have your team all being on the same. Like that's okay.
Yeah.
Like that's not weakness.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But,
that's great.
Yeah.
Matt, thanks so much for this. You know, this was not a tough conversation. This was a very easy conversation to have with you, and I love it.
Good.
And I appreciate your leadership and all that you do at SC House Calls. You're a great friend and a great leader, and appreciate all you do, man.
Of course, appreciate you too.
Thanks.
Have a good one.
Thanks for listening. And if you could leave us a 5-star review, we would really appreciate it. Visit our podcast website at ltcuniversitypodcast.com. You can also subscribe to one of our other podcasts in our podcast network, The Disruptive Podcast with Scott Middleton, Experiencing Healthcare with Matt Staub, and The Thriving Practitioner Podcast. Thanks again for listening, and we'll be back next week with a new episode. Have a great week.